This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I'm Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December the 28th, 2012, episode 561. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Well, happy new year, everyone. Well, today, Jamie and I bring you a brand new special musical episode that we think that you will enjoy. But first, I want to thank a couple of sponsors that have been with us for a long time, and we really appreciate their business. Wanted to do that at this end of the year, and that's Kentucky Performance Products and EquityMFG.com. Well, Kentucky Performance Products has been with us since the beginning of the Horse Radio Network 4 years ago, been on thousands of episodes with us, and been a huge supporter, and will continue to do so through the next year. We really appreciate their commitment to the Horse Radio Network and to all of us that work here. And they have terrific products. We should check them out at KPPUSA.com, KPPUSA.com. And we also want to thank Joseph from EquityMFG.com for being a big supporter of Horses in the Morning and the Horse Radio Network as well. He came on board this year, and you guys all know how we feel about our Flexin' Forks and Shakin' Forks. Most of the hosts here at the Horse Radio Network use them. We love them. It's hard to believe that you could actually love a manure fork, but we do. They just work so well. I use them for cleaning up leaves and sticks and everything else around here at the farm in addition to manure, and they're just strong, and they work. They have a shock absorber system. They're unique, and I'll tell you what, you wouldn't want to use anything else. That's what I recommend for your New Year's resolution, is to get one of those. But we want to thank Joseph for being part of the show and for his continued support of Horses in the Morning. Thank you both at KPP and EquityMFG.com. Now on with a commercial-free musical episode with Bren Hill. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to a very special musical episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. Good morning, horse people.
Stormy throws her head. She don't like the sound of lead. Ripping through the sky on a cool, clear autumn morn. She high trots back home. She can't stand to be alone. She's been that way since the day that she was born. But I love her anyway. I wouldn't trade a single day. I'm riding for another day to be alive. Wind in her long black mane. She's the only thing that keeps me sane. The only way today that a cowboy can survive. Equine. Mind all his own. Bud was hard as a stone. Threw me to the ground a dozen times or more. Running down the road, cussing cause I'd just been through. All the way back to the old brown double barn door. But I loved him anyway, and I wouldn't trade a single day. I'm riding for another day to be alive. Wind in his long gold mane was the only thing that kept me sane. The only way today that a cowboy can survive. Equine. There's a fire burning in me still, and a cold hard iron will to get back on no matter how hard I fall. I think think of them days sometimes to ease my troubled mind. Every time my back's up against the wall, there's one tired old painter. He's a little less kin than kin. I see the hesitation in his eyes. I lift a little saddle on. He kicks him in the sides and they're gone. Lord, I can't believe how the years roll by. And how I love that little boy, riding high like Gene and Roy, fading like a hero into that western sun. The wind in his thick gold hair, I close my eyes for a moment, I'm there. The only way today that a cowboy can survive, equine.
Well, thank you so much for listening in as we bring you this special musical episode of Horses in the Morning. You know, Jamie and I, as the regular listeners know, love doing these shows because we get to meet some really cool people and we get to spend some time really getting to know them without the constraints of our normal daily show.
Yeah, and I absolutely love the fact that with that song, you can tie in being a cowboy, being a horseman, and tie that all together. I just absolutely love cowboy songs, and we've definitely got a very special guest on today, and he goes by the name of Bryn Hill, and we'd like to welcome him to the show. Hey, Bryn.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So where in the middle of nowhere are you right now?
Yeah, Hooper, Utah is about 50 miles northwest of Salt Lake. And I tell people we live right on the beach. We're on the east shore of Great Salt Lake here, about a mile from the last bluff that drops off to the lake here. And it's a rural community west of Ogden, Utah. And I'm born and raised in this area and plan on dying here. It's wow. A beautiful place. Yeah.
It sounds it. I know, flying over it. That's pretty much the only time I've been through it is you look down and you're like, oh, there's the Great Salt Lake. That, I mean, just all of Utah is absolutely gorgeous. So I know you feel blessed to live there. And I know that you have an entire family that lives there on a ranch. Is that correct?
I call it a ranchette. You know, it's only a few acres, but it's about as much as I can handle, you know, with all the traveling I do. But, yeah, I've got a lot of friends that still ranch, so there's always plenty of work to do if I get bored.
Well, I mean, you have a whole bunch of horses, and so there's always a horse to ride, even if you're caught up on all the work.
Oh my gosh, and I'll never get caught up on all the horses to ride. You know, I'm a little bit horse crazy, and I travel so much with the music. I sort of think, you know, when I get back off of this, John, I'm going to ride those colts that are standing out there in the pasture, and just thinking that earlier today, but that's really what I do for fun, you know, and it's kind of the outlet for me. So it's really what helps my music get going again, you know, the creative flow.
Well, let's back up a little bit and to growing up. So you grew up into the horse world?
You know, sort of. I always had a horse to ride. I grew up in the suburbs of Ogden my family has ground up around Eden. My aunt still lives up there, and my uncle always had, he was killed in a woodcutting accident in 96. He always had a bunch of horses for us to ride, and my dad kept a bunch of horses up there. I didn't really realize what a big part of my life it was probably until I started writing, you know, and singing. And I realized that, you know, being on the back of a horse is kind of what gets the music going for me. It seems like every time I go, you know, gather cows or we did a lot of horse hunting when I was growing up, and we'd go on these big adventures and pack trips, and every time I get back, my head would be full of words and music. And probably about 87, 88, somewhere around there, I got introduced to, we actually went on a pack trip up in the Payette Forest in north central Idaho. And my cousin pulled a battery-powered cassette player out of the saddlebag and had a tape in it called Cowboyography. It was a copy. And here I'm a songwriter admitting to breaking the law, but it was a copy, said Cowboyography on it. And I didn't know, you know, who the artist was, but those songs, we listened to them every night around the fire, and it just kind of, it was kind of something I was already into. I was already writing cowboy poems and cowboy songs, and, you know, at 12 or 13 years old, and I'd play them to my mom and my dog, and you know.
The only ones that would listen.
Yeah, anybody who would listen. That's about the only people that would at that time.
Can't
you know,
you
it
see?
Just really sunk in. I when I got to Elko, Nevada in the late 80s, early 90s is when I figured out that was Ian Tyson. And I heard Ian Tyson's tunes, and of course, my mom had old Ian and Sylvia records. I didn't make a connection, and I got to hear artists like Buck Ramsey and Don Edwards, and so it really, it really stuck, and I kind of found an audience for what I was doing, and they were warm and receptive to the fact that there was a young guy, you know, writing songs about the West and about livestock and about horses.
Now, when you were in high school and things, were you an athlete then? Were you in sports and doing all the regular kid stuff, or was it pretty much just the horses side?
Yeah, you know, I did. I'm no great athlete by any means, but I did. I did high school sports, and the thing I never talk about is I sang in a choir, and so the music was always a big part of it, and I think I was trying to find my wings. I played piano and guitar, and I was, of course that wasn't cool until you were trying to get dates, for the prom. Then you could sing a girl a song and she'd say, "Oh yeah, okay, I'll go with this guy." But,
that was before Guitar Hero, was popular.
Before Guitar Hero. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We're talking early 90s here. So, did we have video games then?
Very rudimentary ones.
yeah, exactly. But, I tried to do all the normal stuff, but, right out of high school, I got a job cowboying and had a mentor from that world. A guy, Jason Bantassel, lives up in Downey, Idaho, and one heck of a cowboy, heck of a horseman. And it just really, it got in my blood. It's been there ever since and probably always will be.
Now, I got to ask, living where you do in Utah and being born in Ogden, Utah, does that automatically, by birth, when you come out of the womb, are you a skier at the same time as being a cowboy?
I did ski when I was growing up. Here's the thing. When you have a family, I'm raising a family. I got three kids here, 10, 6, and 3, and my wife. Skiing is, it's something we do so rarely, because it seems so expensive when you're a local. But when I was growing up, I took some ski lessons. I actually ended up on a snowboard a time or two,
yikes.
That's part of it here. But the other thing, we did a lot of, lion hunting and chasing bobcats and mountain lions in the wintertime. And so I spent quite a bit of time on the back of a horse in the winter, which is actually one of my favorite times of the year to ride.
Okay, something that we can say we've never done before, Jamie, is ride a horse to chase bobcat and mountain lion.
Definitely not. No, I have never done that. But I was going to say that the reason that you don't ski anymore is because you did try snowboarding. I swear the one time I snowboarded, I hurt more than the worst time I've been bucked off of a horse in my entire life. It hurt worse than any time, any horse injury ever. I maybe made it 45 minutes on a snowboard before I almost died.
You know, the trick to it, if you do this again, you have to go snowboarding 2 days, because really the first day, you spend most of the first day on your backside.
Yeah, no, I spend it on my head, then my backside, then my head, then my backside, then my head, then my as I tumble down the hill. I wouldn't have made it 2 days, Bryn. I'm going to leave that to you guys. I'll take my skis.
There you go.
Brendan, there's a song we want to play called Nothing in This Life. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, a few years ago, I was a little wiped out on the music biz. I actually came home from Texas. I had a little radio success in Texas, and we distributed through Walmart down there. And, you know, it was kind of a taste of the big-time music biz, and or at least larger-scale music biz. Texas is, you know, quite a state, and people there so supported this music, and they actually get it. You know, there's still a lot of horse people and ranch people in Texas, and so I was a little tired from my travels. I came home, and my one of the last of bloodline that my uncle and my cousin started back in the 90s, buckskin roan colt came my way, and I started working with this horse, and she was pretty hard headed, but it kind of inspired me to write. That's where equine came from. I woke up in the middle of the night. I struggled with this horse one afternoon, and I think both of us walked away a little frustrated, which you're never supposed to do. But my rudimentary horsemanship skills, you know, are probably I'm probably admitting to those a little bit too much here. But middle of the night, this song came to me, and so I decided I was going to write this album worth of songs about horses. In the midst of that, my son, who is now 6, he was 2.5 at the time, was stricken with cancer, brain and spinal cancer, medulloblastoma, and we spent about 14 months in the hospital, and he has a little sorrel mare that came out of Wyoming that was ranch-raised, and, I mean, just a cow horse to the core, you know, and she's just a special horse, kind of has a window into your soul, as they all do, but she and Briggs were pretty good buddies. You know, he kind of got stuck in the saddle pretty young and was kind of the kid you'd have to pry off the back of a horse before he got sick. So he was separated from Jesse, and he'd talk, you know, in the hospital about wanting to get back and get riding again, you know, when he got out of there. And of course, during that time, we were just hoping that he would. We had doctors that told us he'd never walk again, you know, and I kind of struggled with that, grappled with it a little bit, and finally told him, you know, well, you don't understand. My son has one heck of a horse. And I think all of us as horse people have come to the conclusion that there's really nothing in this life worth doing that you can't do from a horse. So that's really where that song comes from.
One foot in front of the other, one day at a time. Another round of chemo coming, it gets to be a grind. The sun's out, the springtime's coming, he wants to go outside. They say he may never walk again, that's all right. A little sorrel mare called Jesse, a long way from home. The little boy she used to carry has left her all alone. The sun's high over Franklin Canyon, she wants to go outside. Say he may never walk again, but he will ride. And they are two hearts in need of something only they can provide. A cow horse and a little cowboy waiting to reunite. The will to live, the will to ride. It's a powerful force, and there's nothing in this life worth doing that you can't do on a horse. I don't have a crystal all. I'm not a PhD. You won't get to be rich and famous hanging around with me. But I believe that God's a cowboy and that he understands a little boy so sick and tired needs a special friend. And they are two hearts in need of something only they can provide. A cow horse and her little cowboy waiting to reunite. The will to live, the will to ride, it's a powerful force. And there's nothing in this life worth doing that you can't. Stem cells and radiation, another second chance. They say that life is that which happens while making other plans. My story has a happy ending for all the tears we've cried. You don't have to walk, my friend, be able to ride. And they are two hearts in need of something only they can provide. A cow horse and her little cowboy waiting to reunite. The will to live, the will to ride, it's a powerful force. Nothing in this life worth doing that you can't do on a horse. Nothing in this life worth doing that you can't do on a horse.
Wow, what a powerful, powerful song, Bryn. My gosh, nothing in life worth doing that you can't do on a horse. Amen, brother.
Yeah, yeah. You know, my son's made some amazing progress since all that, and he still rides, and we feel very blessed. But we think, the therapeutic riding he's done has helped him get back on his feet and certainly helped him with his confidence, and so we're very blessed.
That could be the theme song for every therapeutic riding facility in America. My gosh.
Well, we've certainly met some nice folks in that world that are doing an awful lot of good. You know, not with just the disabled or handicapped. We've met some folks that work with veterans, you know, suffering from post-traumatic stress. And so there's so much great work being done in that world, and you know, I just have to be grateful. I wouldn't have known about any of that, you know, had I not gone through the experience with my son and had the opportunity to write that song, and really had we not been given this great two-eyed Jack Mayer called Jeffy.
This reminds me so much, Jamie, of the episode, special musical episode we did with Dan Roberts, who had a similar situation. Do you know Dan?
Oh, Dan's a great friend. I'll tell you, he's not just one of my favorite singer-songwriters. He's one of my favorite people. He is one swell feller.
Yeah, and he had a similar situation with his child.
Yeah.
When you mentioned that, it just, you know, it brought me back to that.
Well, I'll tell you what, if Dan's listening, tell him hello for me. He is one great guy. We think of them a lot, and Dan and I have had some heart-to-heart talks here since.
I bet.
All that.
I bet you have. Now, yeah. When did you, you said you started on the road. How old were you when you hit the road and out to the radio stations and trying to do music for a living?
You know, I was in my early 20s, late teens and early 20s. I was going to Weber State University here in Ogden, and I probably shouldn't say his name over radio, but a professor there in the English department, I was studying English. I just really enjoyed writing, you know, and reading and poetry. Couldn't get my hands on enough of it at the time, but he got tired of me coming up with excuses as to why I wasn't in class on the weekend. And he brought me in his office one day and he said, listen, this stuff you're writing is pretty good. I know you're out playing music, and he says, you need to follow your heart. So
he kicked you out of college?
You know, I think it was politely asking me to leave, but I later was able to get back and get my studies finished up. But I was fortunate, you know, he was actually a bit of a mentor. But, yeah, I was in my early 20s and kind of struck out and played on the road and played anywhere I could, cowboy poetry gatherings and fairs and festivals. And, you know, I spent a little bit of time in Nashville back in the latter part of the 90s, or mid-90s, I should say, and kind of learned to be a songwriter. I didn't fit in really well. I've definitely never been a hit-oriented songwriter, but I think I've benefited from, you know, learning from some really great songwriters out there. And there's actually, you know, as you know, a lot of horse people in that part of the world, so it was time well spent for me there. It was kind of short, but my career has been here in the West, and really, you know, with people who understand, you know, agriculture and livestock and the horse world for sure.
So I'm curious. I've got to know. Did you, while you're out in Nashville trying to make a record or hit the big time or whatever, when you're writing with all those people, did you meet your wife there or did you meet her back on the ranch?
Yeah, you know, I met her in Utah, and I was interesting. I knew from the time that I met her, you know, that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with her, and she's the most beautiful girl I've ever seen in my life still to this day, and the sweetest. But, yeah, I met her in Utah. In fact, we grew up not very far apart from each other, and so she's very much a, you know, a Utah girl, and we live just slightly west of where she grew up. So I was pretty fortunate, and our roots are pretty deep here. We've got a lot of family, and certainly with the time that I spend away from home and all the struggles we've been through, we've really been blessed to have so much family close by.
Well, and it sounds like, you know, she kind of knew what she was signing up for too, you know, knowing you probably your whole entire life. So it's not like, hey, I'm going to quit school and I'm going to go be a rock star. It's like, hey, yeah. you knew me already. It's not like you had to even like break the news to her. It sounds like she was a supportive woman from the beginning, huh?
Well, it's interesting because her dad was a railroader, so he was on the railroad line as an engineer all the time she was growing up. So I don't know if it's really a good thing, but for better or for worse, she kind of got used to the man of the house, you know, going on the road to make a living. So it's probably a pretty good fit from that aspect. I don't know that she ever planned on, you know, being a manager and an agent and, you know, fulfilling CD orders and all the stuff that comes along that she helps with so much in the background. I mean, as well as being a full-time mom, she's really something special. Yeah. Yeah. She keeps it going. You know, sometimes I'll get a little down and out, with the music biz, and, she'll kick me in the rear and send me back out on the road again.
Well, you know, that I think that's true though. You know, when any marriage that lasts for any period of time, you don't know what you're getting into, and you never end up doing the things that you think you're going to do in most cases. I know that's true with my wife and I. You know, she certainly never wanted to be in the radio business, and here she's in the radio business. So, you know, I think that's true of everybody, but especially horse people, too. You just don't know where life's going to take you.
You know, I remember a couple of times being gone. I was over in Denver one time and then in southern Utah one time, and she would call and say, you know, she called me one time and she said, this horse that we had named Stormy, she says she's got a panel stuck to her foot. And I still couldn't picture that over the phone, you know. And then she's called one time and said, we've got horses half a mile down the road. So, you know, ranch wives that stay home and, you know, take care of the place, they put up with a whole lot. I don't know if she ever realized she was signing up for so much when she married a horse guy lover
horse,
and a songwriter.
Horse spouses never do, whether it's a guy or a girl. They never know what they're getting into. I always said we should have classes on that, Bren. Marrying a horse person 101. Well, let's take a listen to another one, and then when we come back, I want to talk about, you know, you're obviously into the Western way of life and cowboy music and poetry and things like that. I want you to tell us about how you think that genre of music is doing. Are we getting outside the horse world? Is it, you know, how is it doing? So we'll talk about that in a minute. But first, Monster on Your Back.
Yeah, Monster on Your Back is a song about a legendary cowboy from Utah by the name of Bill Hadlock. I've known this guy all my life. He's had one job. He'll tell you this. He's had one job all his life, and that's managing the Barbie Ranch in Huntsville, Utah. He's been there for about 50 or 60 years. He's lost his wife in the last year. He's had some health problems, and he's still cowboying. I mean, this guy is the real deal.
Listen up, I've rode this mountain 70 years, I've been alive. Choked on rocks and rattlesnakes, a wonder I've survived. Don't think I haven't had a bronc like you try me. Every time he thinks a monster is hiding around a tree. Well, the monster's on your back, son, better try to understand. The cowboy that you're fighting now was born to this here land. One day you'll earn your scars and all the fearlessness you lack. Don't worry about the things that you can't see. The monster's on your back. Now hear this. I've rode through howl and hell and wind and snow and rain. I am oblivious to misery and pain. And that iron in your gizzard, it will never go away. So long as you got work to do today. And there's a monster on your back, son. Get your guts up off the trail. We got a job to do, and I promise we won't fail. One day you'll earn your scars and all the fearlessness you lack. Don't worry about that ornery Charley Bull. The monster's on your back. You think that if you buck me off, I won't get back on. You could stomp me into the ground and I'd be gone. You think that this old man ain't tough like he once used to be? Try me one more time and you will see. There's a monster on your back, son, better start to understand. The cowboy that you're fighting now was born to this here land. One day you'll earn your scars and all the fearlessness you lack. Till then you're gonna have to trust in me. The monster's on your back. Mm-hmm.
a monster on your back.
Well, that was Monster on Your Back. I love that song, by the way. That, I think that's one of my favorite ones.
Oh, thanks, Glenn. You know, it's a pretty rocking song. I call it sage rock. And some people, you know, they got to turn the volume down, but it...
No, I want to turn the volume up.
Good deal, yeah. That's a for real song, and I'll tell you what, the guy that wrote that song about is just... He's awfully special to our family, and really to this area. He's just kind of a genuine article.
Well, now tell me, I asked the question before we went to the song about country music, or not necessarily country music, but cowboy music and the Western way of life. Do you think it is going away? Do you think it's growing right now? Where's it at?
You know, I don't. I think it's growing. I do. I think it's alive and well. I think in terms of... seeing the cowboy poetry world and the cowboy music world grow, I think it's struggling, and part of that is getting young people out to the event. I think that will happen eventually, but it's kind of a struggle to get them out to events. And of course, the last 3 or 4 years, it's been a struggle to get anybody out to any event, you know, given the economic downturn. But but I really think, as a way of life, I think we're growing. I think cowboys and cowgirls are evolving with the times, and certainly having to adapt, you know, their life a little bit, not really change their values, but to maybe adapt their lifestyle so that they can incorporate, you know, their love of the land and animals into it. But I think there's more. There's more, I don't know, from I don't want to sound like I think I'm an expert by any means in the horse world, but just from where I can stand, I think there's better horses in the marketplace. I think the horsemanship skills that people are applying are better. I think we'll enjoy some mighty good horses in the future. And I think as long as there's, you know, as long as there's good horses and good horse people and you know, ranches and cowboying and Western lifestyles to live, I think there's going to be people to write and sing about it. So I think the future is actually bright. I think we're just trying to figure out where it fits.
Right. Well, I was going to ask you, too. You mentioned, you know, being on the road and having the horses at home. You know, my horses get mad at me if I feed them 20 minutes later than they think they need to be fed. And here you are out on the road, you come back to ride them. You know, how much of the time are you on the road? Where do you go? Where do you play? And tell us about some of the people you've met along the way.
Yeah, year over year, it depends. And it's funny, I got a horse that has an internal clock too. she's screaming at me all the time, but you know, year over year, it can really vary.
Did you notice it was a mare? I'm just saying. Just throw that out.
So busy for me. And so I've spent an awful lot of time, you know, traveling and at least, you know, probably a little bit more than half of the year. And when you come home and you got time to do your laundry and do the things that need to be done around the place and do a few chores and spend some time with your family, you know, it actually does kind of take a toll on your riding time. But, which has been a little tough on me the last couple of years. But for the most part, I travel in the Intermountain West. This year we went, to Texas for a small tour, and I played an event up in Soldotna, Alaska. So my travels can kind of take me anywhere, but mostly in the Intermountain West and Alberta and British Columbia and Canada. And I live and love... I long for the West even when I'm in it. I just, I've been some great places in this world and I still, until I see every bit of the West, I don't think I'm going to get on a plane and go overseas for a vacation, if you know what I mean. But that's primarily, my music is kind of a byproduct of where I go and who I meet. maybe a bit of a folk singer songwriter, if you will, and so the travels are really a big part of the music, and I really look forward to seeing new country next year.
When you said I read that you've said in the past that you were really, you described yourself as a little bit of George Strait, a little bit of Bruce Springsteen, and a whole lot of Ian Tyson and John Denver, and I think that you nailed it on the head there, especially after we heard that last song with the Bruce Springsteen influence.
Yeah, well, it's kind of been hard for me over the years that people want to put my music into a box, and they often ask me where do you fit? I'm not really a country singer, and my music certainly fits into the cowboy vein, and where do you put cowboy music these days? Because it is a bit different than country music, but I kind of look back and just feel that I've been blessed by good influences. I've had some great mentors, Ian Tyson being one of them, Don Edwards, Waddy Mitchell, Red Steagall, Michael Martin Murphy. All of those guys are my friends, and they always have, $100 worth of free advice for me. And when my family was in turmoil, they came to my rescue. So I feel really honored and humbled to be a part of the cowboy music firmament. I feel a responsibility to pass it along and not close the door behind me, so to speak. I think it's very important for me to help other artists who want to keep this music alive. And I intend to do that wholeheartedly. I make pretty special effort to do that.
Well, I know that you've won a few awards along the way too. Western Music Association Crescendo Award in 2001, and in the 2004 Academy of Western Artists Male Vocalist of the Year. That's not too shabby.
I've been very fortunate, to be recognized for doing this. And honestly, I feel like it's just a moving target, I think a good horse can always be better. I hope I can always continue to write better songs and be more compelling. It's obviously difficult to continue to reinvent yourself as a writer,
Well,
I hope that I continue to do that.
I want to play another song called High Country, and then we'll wrap it up after that. But I'm going to tease the audience a little bit and concern you because, Jamie, we've got this guy who rides horses, chases bobcats and mountain lions around the neighborhood. Yet there's something in his bio that I read that I found very disturbing, and it affects his manhood. So we're going to get to that right after we hear High Country. Let's take a listen.
In the land of Eden. hidden by the sagebrush and the wind. You can hear the mountains speak. It says, welcome back, my long lost, long lost friend, to the high country, like the mountain light. In the land of eagles, let my soul unwind. It's my
that song. I was sitting at the top of the Boulder Mountains. I was looking south over Escalante, and to the east was the Dutton Mountains. And or sorry, east was the Henrys, the west side was the Duttons. And I mean, I just felt like I was on top of the world when I wrote that song. And a little four-year-old roan there carried me up there. So I was in a good place.
Well, I am so glad you didn't say the other thing that carried you up there, because the thing I found disturbing that you've probably been wondering about the whole song, when I was doing some research about you, it's a quote you had made to a article that was written about you, and I'll read it. It says, "When most people don't know about me, as I love to travel in a minivan. It's a hard on the image, but it's I like being comfortable out in the big open road. Now, I would have loved to hear about your motorhome or anything like that, but a minivan, Bren?
Oh, man. That's, I know it. I I take so much heat for that, Glenn, I'll tell you what. And rightly so. I mean, can you imagine a minivan going down the road in a big old 10-gallon Stetson hat? It just doesn't look right, you know?
No. No, and you say that you want a comfortable one. You know, I got a Dodge truck that's pretty darn comfortable.
Yeah,
and it's
exactly.
Not a minivan.
Yeah. The only time it's uncomfortable for me to travel in my truck is when I have to get gas.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I buy so much of that stuff these days.
Yeah, the minivan probably helps with that. But I got to imagine when you pull up to these big cowboy gatherings that you do take a little heat with having the only minivan in the audience.
I wear a disguise when I drive in, is how I do that. So
takes
they don't
off
know
his hat.
It's me. They'll just think I'm, you know, a fan coming in there.
A lame fan. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
So what do you
have? You know, I'll tell you what, I drove 60,000 miles this year.
Wow.
Holy cow. Yeah, yeah, you better be comfortable and a little bit less on the gas. I tell you, Bryn, I'm actually in full right now. I'm pregnant with my first child. And that is the first thing everybody asks me is, when are you getting the minivan? And yeah. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I can put a baby seat in the back of my Dodge. Why have to change?
Exactly.
Yeah, let's talk to her in 5 years, Bryn, after she has two. We'll see if the minivan's in the driveway then.
Why I gotta have two? Why can't I just have one?
Bryn, what's next for you? What do you hope to accomplish here yet?
Oh man, you know, that's the hardest question. You know, people ask me which song is my favorite, and I tell them the next one.
Mm-hmm.
So I think as songwriters, we're always kind of looking down the road as artists, you know, to see what's next on the horizon and just hoping and praying that the creative flow keeps coming, you know. I want to do a live record, and I want to do it in my hometown of Ogden, Utah.
Yeah.
And I'd like to, in the hometown crowd, I'd like to have some of these guys that have been playing on the road with me. Ryan Tilby has been helping me with the production. He's a co-producer on Rodeo Heaven and on North Pole Rodeo, the two records that we made this year. I recorded in Utah for the first time. I got 9 records and I'd never made a record in Utah until this year. So I'd like to get a great band together and play a live record here in Ogden. I think that's probably next on the horizon here for me in the short run, but you know, in the long run, I hope I can just keep on making meaningful music and garnering new fans. We do it one at a time. Go out on the road, meet people. I not only know their names, but I try to know their kids and their horses' names. You know?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll send you a list of our 30,000 listeners, and we'll give you a quiz in about a week.
I'll do my best.
We're going to help get your name out there to horse people all over the world. Tell people, though, where they can go buy your music.
BrynHill.com, BrynHill.com, and our music's at iTunes if folks like to take it digitally. We will send out the CDs personally. I'll even sign them if they drop me a note. And the tour schedule's there. Of course, we're always looking for new places to play, so if anybody's got some ideas that way, we'll bring the show to your backyard.
Very good. Thank you so much, Bryn, for joining us today. We really appreciate you being on the show. We're going to end the show with a song called North Pole Rodeo, which has to be one of the wackiest pseudo Christmas songs I've ever heard.
Well, it is, because it's completely invalid through most of the holiday season until Christmas is over. You know, that song is really a post Christmas song.
Yeah.
So yeah, it has a really short short lifespan as far as when it's valid, but yeah, it's been a pleasure to be with you guys. Happy New Year to you. Thank you so much for having me, and thanks to all your listeners for their support, and hope to do this again sometime.
Well, Happy New Year, Bryn.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Bryn.
It's a cold, cold place. 6 months till dawn. Toes are all delivered. Christmas is gone. There ain't much to do. 36 below. Saddle up the reindeer and have a rodeo. You shake the holiday blues wearing cowboy boots and faded denim tights. Watch Rudolph, Buck, and Elf or two ride through the northern lights. And there ain't no better show than an arena made of snow. Santa's North Pole Rodeo. Here they go. Yodelay, 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 yodelay. Never seen a bareback ride. You've seen an elf on a polar bear's backside. I tried to toss a dude
ran a slick wet seal. Her hog tie and narwhal, man, that's a slippery deal. You shake the holiday blues wearing cowboy boots and faded denim tights. I watch Rudolph Buck and Elf or two ride through the northern lights. And there ain't no better show in an arena made of snow than Santa's North Pole Rodeo. One more time, yodelay, yodelay. Oh.